Take your Bible now, please, and let's open to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the first message in a series of message under the theme, Every Member in Ministry. Today's message is Made for Ministry. And the scriptural text is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. So I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Ephesians 2. If you forgot it today, perhaps someone who is sitting next to you will allow you to look upon his or her copy of the Scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, as we think together under the theme, Made for Ministry. Verse 8, For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by work, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. A few days ago, baseball fans across America gathered around their television sets as Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record for consecutive games played without a miss. It was a special moment in the life of our nation, the life of sports fans, as one of baseball's all-time greats surpassed the record of a great of another era, Lou Gehrig. I think all of us who know anything at all about baseball would say that when God designed and made Cal Ripken, God made Cal Ripken to be a baseball player. He didn't make Cal Ripken to be a rocket scientist, or an astronaut, or an attorney, or a movie star. He made him to be an athlete. And he didn't make him to play in the NBA. He made him to play Major League Baseball. Whatever else we can say about Cal Ripken, and we can say many wonderful and good things about him. We can say this, that there's no doubt in his mind that he's doing what God made him to do. On the other hand, another great athlete of our generation by the name of Michael Jordan was somewhat confused about what God made him to do. All NBA fans would recognize that Michael Jordan is easily the greatest player to ever play the game of basketball. And at the height of his career, he decides to change careers and play Major League Baseball. Unfortunately, his baseball skills do not match up to his basketball skills. And after a season or two in the minor leagues, Michael Jordan saw the light and decided to go back to the NBA. And the same way that God made Michael Jordan to play basketball and God made Cal Ripken to play baseball, God has made every Christian for ministry. In fact, every one of us who knows Jesus Christ has been designed by God to do works of ministry. And if you miss everything else I'm going to say today, I want you to get that because this is the sermon in a nutshell. It is that every Christian has been designed by God to do works of ministry. That is, you and I have been created in Christ Jesus for ministry. Not just those of us who are preachers, and missionaries, evangelists, music ministers, and so forth. But every single one of us has been called of God and gifted of the Spirit of God to do works of ministry. And in our text this morning, I want you to see with me two simple principles. And they're so simple a child could understand them. And everything that I'm going to say today is going to hang on these two principles. In fact, everything I'm going to say over the course of the next several weeks is really going to be based on these two eternal foundational principles which are found in Ephesians chapter 2. The first is simply this, God works in me salvation. And the second is, God works through me ministry. Now let's look at these. First, God works in me the gift of salvation. Look again in verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship. Here we see in these verses that salvation is the work of God. It has its origin in God the Father. It has its effect through the death and resurrection of God the Son. And the Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, works in the heart and life of sinners to reveal to that sinner that he needs a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and imparts to that person new life, spiritual life. Now, whatever else we can say about the Bible, we can say that the Bible is a book of salvation. It's a book about how to know God through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 is perhaps as concise a summary statement to be found anywhere in the New Testament as to how it is that a sinner is made right with God. But I want you to see with me that salvation is all of God. It is what God does, and we are simply the recipients of what He does. Now, three simple truths I want you to see with me in these verses. First of all, see with me in verses, the latter part of verse 8 and the first part of verse 9, that salvation is a gift. Look in the last part of verse 8. It is the gift of God, and the first part of verse 9, not by works. Salvation is a gift. It is a gift from God to sinners. I don't know about you, but when I read that salvation is a gift, I take comfort and consolation in that. Because if salvation was something that I had to purchase, then I might not have enough dollars to buy my salvation. And you and I can be grateful that God does not require us to purchase salvation. The Scripture makes it very, very clear that salvation is a gift. It is the gift of God. Therefore, a rich person does not have an advantage over a person who is not wealthy when it comes to the matter of salvation. And so the first simple truth I want you to see here is that salvation is a gift. Now, the second truth I want you to see is that salvation is a gift of grace. Look again in verse 8. For it is by grace that you have been saved. Salvation is not only a gift, but salvation is a gift of grace. When God saves a sinner, He gives that sinner something that sinner does not deserve. Now, we're all sinners. The Bible is emphatically clear about that. Any honest reading of the New Testament would compel us to acknowledge that we've all sinned. We've all missed the mark. We've all fallen short of the perfection which God demands of all of us. There's none righteous, the Scripture says. No, not even one. And so we are sinners in need of salvation. And the Scripture tells us that God gives salvation to us, but the salvation that God gives to us is based upon grace. Now, when I receive a gift of grace, I receive something I don't deserve. Because I'm a sinner, I deserve the wrath of God. Because I've broken God's commandments, then I deserve to be separated from the presence of God forever and ever. But in Jesus Christ, I receive salvation. That's grace. I don't receive what I deserve. I receive from the hand of God that which I don't deserve. I receive eternal life. I receive the forgiveness of my sins. I receive reconciliation to a holy God. I'm restored to fellowship with God. So salvation is a gift. It's also a gift of grace. Now, suppose in the middle of the night you'd been on a long trip and you were coming home, say it was 1 a.m., and you happened to drive down the street where I live. And you notice flames coming out of the attic of our home. The house is on fire. And so you stop your car, and you rush to the front door to see if you can arouse your pastor from sleep. And you begin to pound on the door. By this time, flames are coming out of the windows, and there's smoke everywhere. But as an act of your bravery, you're able to come into our home and to rouse us from a sleep and to spare my life and to spare the life of my family members. Now, if I'm have any kind of decency at all, I'm at least going to say thank you for saving my life. Let's say I came to you a few days later after I kind of got my bearings and got my equilibrium back, and I said, you know, I just want you to know that I thank you for saving my life and for saving the life of my family. I thank you for your heroism. I thank you for what you did, or I wouldn't be here today. And as an expression of my gratitude, I'm going to give you a check for $100. Well, now, you'd probably take it. I mean, if I saved somebody's life and somebody wanted to give me $100, I'd take it. Put it to good use, pay some bills. And I hope you'd take it. But, you know, how do you put a value on a person's life? I mean, if I had $10,000, I'd want to give you that. Or for $100,000, I'd want to pay that. But nevertheless, if you saved my life, and whether I gave you $5 or $55 or $555, you weren't expecting anything. You were just doing what you thought any wonderful citizen ought to do. But if I give you a gift, I'm giving you something that in your mind you can honestly say, you know, I do deserve this. I did save the preacher's life. I mean, it's okay for him to give me some money because I saved him. I mean, he'd be dead and I'd be without a preacher. Now settle down. Some of you want me to go, I know, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm teasing. I don't know anybody wants me to go, but what I'm trying to say is, if you saved my life and I gave you a gift, in a sense, I'd be paying you for what you had done for me. You didn't expect a gift, but I give the gift as an expression of my gratitude for what you did for me. Now, the salvation we receive in Jesus Christ is not like that at all. There's a big difference. There's a dramatic difference. The salvation that we receive in Jesus Christ is all of grace. It is God's unmerited favor. When the Lord Jesus Christ reached down by His Spirit and convicted you that you needed a relationship with God the Father and revealed to you that you were a sinner who needed a Savior and gave you the gift of spiritual life, He was not giving you something that you merited or you deserved because you're better than others. When He gave you salvation, it was all of grace. Because if we got what we deserve, folks, we'd get wrath. But we get grace and mercy. So when God gives us salvation, it's grace. So the first thing I want you to see about this salvation is, number one, salvation is a gift. The second thing I want you to see is, number two, salvation is a gift of grace. The third thing I want you to see is that salvation is a gift of grace received through faith. Not only is it a gift, and not only is it a gift of grace, but this grace gift is received through faith. Look again in verses 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. Salvation is the gift of God. And the only thing you and I can do to be saved is to receive what God gives us. We receive Jesus by faith. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and brings conviction to the heart and life of a sinner and reveals to that person that he needs a relationship with God, and then God saves us when we respond in repentance and faith. You see, you and I don't have to explain salvation in order to be saved. I'm grateful. And when the Lord saved me, they didn't ask me to explain how it takes place. Now, that's been 30 plus years now since I was saved as a boy. And I understand more about salvation now than I did that night, but I still can't fully explain how it is that the Holy God can reconcile and save a guilty sinner, but He does. If I can't explain it, I don't even fully understand it. Aren't you glad we don't have to understand how salvation works in order to be saved? There are some things that we have to know. I mean, there are those irreducible minimums. For instance, if you're going to be saved, you have to acknowledge that, yes, I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. If you're going to be saved, you have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only Savior from sin. And then you receive Him by faith, just simply trusting in Him. Faith is the key that opens the door to salvation. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift of God's grace. Salvation is a gift of God's grace which we receive by faith. If you're waiting till you understand all that there is to understand in order to be saved, you'll never be saved. Because if you can understand it fully, then it's not fully faith. But we can enjoy the benefits of salvation without understanding salvation. Some of you who have a scientific mindset, or some of you who are electricians, you understand how electricity works. I don't have a clue. I remember when I was in high school, they tried to teach us in physics class about volts and watts and amps. And I might as well have been on Mars and sit through that. I don't understand how electricity goes through a current and turns on the lights. I don't have to understand it to enjoy it. I just go in a room, flip a switch. Lights come on. I don't have to fully understand how it is that a holy God can save a guilty sinner, but I've been enjoying the benefits of my salvation for a long time. Salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift of God's grace. Salvation is a gift of God's grace which we receive through faith. And so I want you to see that God works in me salvation. Look in the first part of verse 10. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's workmanship. You see, when God saves a sinner, it's God's work, not my work. It's not that we cooperate with God. It's all of God. He works in me. We are His workmanship. And the word translated here in verse 10, workmanship, is the same word in the Greek New Testament from which we get our English word, poem. We are God's poem. We are God's work of art. God works in me. What does God work in me? Salvation. That's what God works in me. When I receive Jesus Christ, God works salvation in my life. Now, we're talking today about being made for ministry. Before you can minister, you've got to be saved. There are folks out there trying to function and serve Christ, never been born again, don't have a relationship with Jesus. Now, if you're going to go to second base, you've got to hit first base. Otherwise, you'll be called out. And so as we think about being made for ministry, remember this first of all, that God works in me. He works in me salvation. Now, there's a second principle I want us to consider. And that is found in the latter part of verse 10. It is simply this: God works through me ministry. God works salvation in me. And then once I'm a child of God, then He works through me the good deeds, the good works of ministry. Look in verse 10. For we are God's workmanship. We're God's poem. We're God's work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Why did the Lord save you and me? There it is. Verse 10. To do good works. God made the sun to shine, the birds to fly, the fish to swim, and God saved us to serve. He's given us a purpose. He's given us something with significance. And we are to function in the body of Christ, serving the Lord Jesus Christ and our fellow man. And as we do so, we bring glory to the name of Jesus. Ministry follows salvation just like the night follows the day. And when somebody says, well, you know, I'm a Christian, but I just don't have a ministry. Well, that's an oxymoron, friends. A non-ministering Christian is a contradiction in terms. Can't be. Well, I guess it is. There are folks that don't minister, but you're out of fellowship with God. You're disobedient to your calling. Look again in verse 10. This is a key verse. We've got to deal with this verse if we're going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. For we are God's workmanship. We have been created in Christ Jesus. That means we've been born of the Spirit of God. We've been given new life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Created in Christ Jesus. Why? Look at it. To do good works. Where are the good works in your life? You know, one of the strengths of Lakeview Baptist Church is that I believe there's a larger percentage of members of Lakeview Baptist Church who are involved in doing the good works of ministry than found in most any church on the face of this earth. I believe that. That's the strength of this church. One of the weaknesses of this church is there's still far too many who don't have any ministry at all. Don't have a clue. It's not they haven't been taught. It's been taught from this pulpit for 16 years. But now we have designed and are fine-tuning a comprehensive strategy to challenge every member to say, "Yes, Lord," in ministry. And you'll be given a chance in the next 6 to 8 weeks to make a commitment for ministry. Not to say I have an interest in this. I'm talking about make a commitment for ministry. And then we're going to equip you to do what you commit to do. Because that's God's plan for His church. Now let's look again in verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, the good works that the Lord has for each one of us to do are works that He's chosen. It's not that you and I say, "I'll have this or this ministry, but none of that." God's sovereign. He chooses what you and I do. I don't function in the body as I function by my choice. I function because that's where God put me. Same would be true in your case. And it says here, the last phrase in verse 10, God prepared in advance. That is, in eternity past. God prearranged it. Look back in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. Chapter 1, verse 11. In Him you are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will. Verse 12. In order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of His glory. Sometimes when we think about predestination, we get all bent out of shape and we think that means God makes some folks go to hell whether they want to go there or not. Doesn't have a thing to do with that, folks. But the Bible does teach that God has chosen us in eternity past to be holy and blameless in Jesus' sight, and God prearranged in eternity past for you and me to receive gifts, grace gifts, spiritual gifts for ministry. So it's not that we choose what our ministry is going to be. God's already done that. Before we ever made Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, God knew me, God knew you, God knew what grace gifts He was going to give you, and God has purposed how you're to function in the body. God hadn't left anything to chance. You understand that? This world's not out of control. God's in control. He's sovereign. We don't have to wring our hands. There's no panic in heaven, only plans. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, verse 8. Well, let's look back and get verse 7 for the context. Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. But to each one of us, grace. Now there's saving grace, and then there's grace to minister. This case is a reference to grace for ministry. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when He ascended on high, He led captives in His train and gave gifts to men. The Lord Jesus Christ has given to us these spiritual gifts for ministry. Now let's go to our memory passage. Look in 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4, verses 11 and 12. Excuse me, verse 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Here we are admonished that each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Now, we'll be hearing a lot about this over the next few weeks, but God has given us these spiritual gifts, and we're to use them. Use them in service. Verse 11, if anyone speaks, You should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. How is the Lord glorified? God is glorified when you and I cooperate with the Spirit of God and exercise the spiritual gifts that God has given to us in ministry. That's how God's glorified. Now, that means that God does the ministry through us. Not only do we not choose it, we don't actually, it's not what we bring to ministry, it's what God gives us for ministry. Do you feel inadequate for ministry? Don't. No need to. God's given you a grace gift for ministry. God works in me salvation. God works through me ministry. And the same Lord Jesus who gave you grace to save you from your sins also gives you grace to function in ministry. I'm not saying everybody ought to resign from your job and go to seminary and go be a missionary. God wants us to minister where we are. In the workplace, in the neighborhood, on the golf course, the athletic field, in your home, in the church. Now, why am I a preacher? Did I choose to be a preacher? I chose to obey God's call, but I didn't choose to be a preacher. God chose me in eternity past to be a preacher. Am I natural at preaching? No. No way. Nope. Doesn't come natural to me. You may think it does, but it doesn't. You can ask my mother. I was the most painfully shy child you can imagine. When I was in kindergarten, we had this extravaganza. And I had a speaking part in it. It wasn't a big speaking part, but I had a speaking part. You know what I did? At the last minute, just before the curtain went up, I chickened out. I remember my dad came backstage. He said, "Son, you'll go out there and do your part. I'm going to give you that Boy Scout knife you've been wanting." He bribed me. I've been wanting that Boy Scout knife for a long time. I didn't take the bribe. I was absolutely terrified of going out and speaking in public. My mother to this day is amazed I can stand before you and speak on Sunday. I'm amazed. It's not natural. Supernatural. The difference. Supernatural. I get nervous every week. Sunday, I just want to run and hide because I say, "God, I'm too scared to get in front of all these people." Supernatural. Now, God's not calling you to be a preacher necessarily, though He may. Not here, I hope. Not for a while, anyway. But God is calling you to ministry, to function in the body of Christ. When you say, "Well, I can't do that." No, sure you can. It's not natural. But it is supernatural. That's why it says in Ephesians that He has given us grace gifts. That's why it says here in 1 Peter 4 that we should use whatever gift we have received to serve others. In another church where I was pastor, I was preaching on the gifts of the Spirit, and a man said to me after the service, he said, "Brother Al, my gift," I figured out what my spiritual gift is. He said, "My gift is sitting on the pew and listening to you preach on Sunday." No! A dog can do that. We had a dog in here earlier today. Don't think I didn't think long and hard about having that dog in here too. I'm not making fun of dogs. I like dogs. But dogs aren't made in the image of God, but we are. So don't tell me your gift is just to show up on... I mean, it's important to show up. It's better that you show up than that you stay home, but that's not ministry. Last month, we were in Istelval, Switzerland, and across the lake is a little village. I think it's pronounced Briens. It's a wood-carving village. So one afternoon we bought a ticket on the lake steamer and rode across the lake, and that was a lot of fun. And spent a few hours walking around this little wood-carving village and with all the other tourists. and went in the shops, and you'd see all kinds of wonderful things that these wood carvers had made, music boxes and ornaments for Christmas, and just figures and figurines. I don't know what they are. I mean, I'm not really into that. But just things that these wood carvers had carved from wood. Now, all they do is just sit on a shelf somewhere. See? And that's okay. If you're a Christmas ornament, be on the tree or there on the shelf somewhere at Christmas time. But the Bible tells us that we are God's workmanship. And He didn't carve us like a wood carver just to sit on a shelf. We are God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus to do works of ministry. That's why God saved you, to serve. Do you remember the last thing that was said here about the greyhound? Something like this. He looks good, but he just doesn't accomplish anything anymore. You and I haven't been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ just to look good. Hear me now. This is the word of the Lord. You and I have been saved to serve, made for ministry, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He has prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray.